Boy, what a... Last Sunday when Brother Brian said, is anybody prepared to be baptized? It was about 25 degrees. I thought, this I got to see. But today it made more sense. What a beautiful day the Lord has given. So whoever was in charge of praying for the weather for the meeting, I hope next time, you know, you get the right week. Because it's starting to get nice, and what a beautiful place, and what a great time we've had, and fellowship, and encouragement. You've been a big encouragement to my wife and I, and I just want to make sure I thank you for that. Amen. All right, this morning, let me read this to you while you, before you go to 1 Corinthians 2. It said, preacher was opening his mail one morning, and he opened an envelope, and he drew out a single sheet of paper from the envelope, and he found only one word written on the sheet of paper. It said, fool. And the next Sunday morning, he got in the pulpit, and he said this. He said, I have heard of people who have written letters and forgot to sign their names, but this is the first time I ever got a letter where they forgot to write the letter and sign their name. Amen. All right. I didn't say that was sent to me, but it might be. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 this morning and verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. Tremendous verse. But as it is written, can I just stop right there and say that I'm glad that it is written. Amen. I'm glad that what we're talking about, what we stand for, where our confidence isn't in what we've been told, what we've been passed down from generation to generation. I just want to say that I thank God for the Bible. I thank God that folks minded the Lord and were moved by the Holy Spirit, wrote down, amen, what he said, and that people were willing to do whatever it took to carry that thing to the place where we've got a Bible today, and we can believe what it said because God said so. It says, but as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Let's pray. Father, I love you this morning. I thank you for the privilege to stand in this pulpit once again. I'm humbled, Lord God, by the kind things that have been said this week. And I'm right on the same page with these folks. I know why any good thing comes out of me or anybody else. Thank you for the grace and mercy and love and long suffering. And Lord God, there's needs in this room this morning, and I couldn't meet them if I knew what they were. But you know what they are, and you can meet them. And I pray that this message would accomplish your purpose and be pleasing in your sight and edifying to your people. And I just pray that in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 It says, neither have entered into the heart of man. In other words, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him is beyond our wildest imagination. I look at that verse and I try to get a picture of heaven. That helps me deal with in other words, the sweet by and by helps me deal with the nasty now and now. Amen. There's some things that God has prepared for us, and I'm looking forward to them. Amen. Amen. It says this in Revelation 21. In verse 18, just a small sampling of the description of heaven. It says of that city, New Jerusalem, it says, and the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third a chalcedony, the fourth and emerald. This is just the foundation. Amen. The fifth, sardonyx. The sixth, sardius. The seventh, crystallite. The eighth, beryl. The ninth, a topaz. Amen. The tenth, chrysoprase. That sounds more like a vegetable than... I don't know what that is, but it'll be beautiful. Amen. The 11th, jacinth. The 12th, an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold. As it were, transparent glass. I try to get a mental picture of that, but I submit to you this morning that no artist, no painter, no songwriter, no poet, and no one has ever been able to put down, whether on canvas or on paper, just how extraordinary that place is that is in your future if your name's in the book of life this morning. But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man. And let's face it. Man is capable of conjuring up some pretty wild stuff. So he makes the point to say, you can't even scratch the surface of what I've got prepared for them that love him. John chapter 14 in verse 2. Go ahead and go there. John chapter 14. The message this morning will be titled this. What's prepared for you? What's prepared for you? Boy, if you're saved, there's an eternity that you're gonna need an eternity to take in the grandeur of. And that's okay, because that's how long you're gonna have to try to grasp it. You're gonna have all eternity. Amen. Amen. And it says in John chapter 14 and verse number 2, it says, the Lord speaking, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Lord. In my Father's house are many mansions. Wow. I've never lived in a mansion. Amen. I don't ever expect to. As a matter of fact, my wife and I live in a motor home. I had a guy refer to it as a motor house. Amen. I like that. Amen. 260 square feet. I've been in houses that the bathroom was probably just about that big. Amen. But I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that because, well, according to the Word of God, there's a mansion prepared, so I can handle a motorhome. Not to be confused with a recreational vehicle. You know, they just call them RVs. But my wife and I are not on vacation, so I don't call it a recreational vehicle. As a matter of fact, one time we had a week open, and I asked my wife. I said, wow, we got some time. That church was generous. Where do you want to go? And she said, home. Amen. And I tell you what, when we get a break, that's where we're. I've seen the sights. I took my kid to everything that I could take them to while we are serving the Lord. Amen. So that they would have good memories. But I'm going to tell you what, when it comes time for us to take a break, we want to go home. We want to go to our place. We want to go to our church. We want to see our family. And now God has richly blessed us with grandchildren. And this is a good time to remind you to pray, because we've got one I'm talking about in the oven. We got one that's due any day now. And I'm still trying to figure out how my wife and I are going to fly back to Ohio when that child's born. And I know this, I'm confident the Lord's going to work it out, because I know we're supposed to go. We're talking about what's prepared for you. He says you can't even get it. Neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. I'm looking forward to heaven, but I gotta say, I would have never dreamed, it never entered into my heart, what God had prepared for me in this life. I got saved in a jail cell. I was on my way to federal prison. I remember snickering and think, that's all you got down? I've done a lot more than that. Amen. I deserved a lot more than 37 years. Amen. And I got saved. That's what it took to bring me to a place where I got a hold of the fact that there's something more important than where you spend the rest of this life. And that's where you spend eternity. And I thank God for sending somebody to a jailhouse in Dayton, Ohio with the guts to tell me the truth. Because he had locked in there with me. And if he'd have made me mad, amen, it wouldn't have went well for him. But truth of the matter is, it would have went even worse for me in eternity. But I listened and I heard the message and I didn't like it. I didn't like his Bible. I didn't like his haircut. I didn't like his tie. But I sure do appreciate somebody that had the guts to tell me the truth. Amen. Because that Bible says in John 8:32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And I got saved. And I didn't get saved because I thought it impressed any judge. And I didn't get saved because I thought it would help in any way, shape, or form with my charges or with my court case. People say, well, Spurgeon got religion because he's afraid of going to prison. Number one, I did not get religion, and I don't have any to this day. And number two, I wasn't afraid of going to prison. I have more friends in prison than some of you got out here. I like saying that. Not really true after 24 years in Christ, but Spurgeon got saved because he's afraid of going to hell. Amen. Because I was honest enough to admit I deserve to. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And friend, today, whoever you are, on your best day, you've come short of the glory of God. Revelation chapter 22 defines the glory of God as Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. And God made a way for us to be eligible.
Amen.
For the forgiveness. Amen. That came with the shedding of his blood. And I'm glad I got in on it. And I never expected to make bond. I've been no bonded twice. I was a member of an international criminal organization with the ability to flee to avoid prosecution. And that was all true. The judge had it right. And I understood those rules. I knew what the game was when I got started as a 22-year-old. And I was resigned to spend the rest of my life in prison, writing a letter to my mother, joyfully saying, I will not be spending eternity in a lake of fire. Thanks for praying. And a week later, the federal government came and said, U.S. attorney came and said, if he'll plead guilty to the machine gun charge, we'll drop it. His max will come from 37 to 7. My lawyer came to me at that deal. And I thought to myself, as he said it, I've been saved a days, a week. And I thought, I just pled guilty to the Lord of glory for everything I've ever done. My intention when my lawyer came was to withdraw my not guilty plea, face the music, and go ahead and go to prison. So when the lawyer offered me the plea bargain, I said, tell him I'll take it. And I knew who engineered it. It wasn't my lawyer. It wasn't any amount of money. It wasn't any maneuvering on a golf course between attorneys and prosecutors. It was the Lord. He did that. And a week later, I got a third bond hearing. And 3 weeks later, I got out on bond. And 2 days after that, I went to church. I went to church and I've been, the way I was treated that morning, it's been emphasized here, the importance of being friendly. It's been emphasized this morning that the importance of greeting up visitors and being kind to new Christians. I'm going to tell you something. The way Dave Spurgeon was treated at that little church on the backside of Dayton, Ohio, that morning I came in and with hair down the middle of my back and a black leather jacket on. I had enough sense to take the earring out. But I came in, and I'll tell you what, by the way, those people treated me that morning. I came back that night. And I came back for the midweek service. That was 24 years ago. I've been a member of the same church for 24 years now. Because people were kind enough to give me a chance to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. Some of you know the story. I eventually got probation instead of going to prison for those 7 years. And I went to Bible school. And I got to say today, I'm an ordained preacher. I've been on the road as an evangelist for 18 years, full time. You know what? I would have never... I have not seen nor heard, neither have entered into the heart of man. Who would ever dreamed? Who would ever dreamed a bunch of nice folks like you would let me come in and yell at them for 10 days? Listen, I'm thankful for what God got prepared on the other side. But it says in Luke chapter 9, Jesus said, I came not to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Boy, it'll save your soul, and your soul needs saving. But I'm telling you what, man. You get in that book, you get on your knees, you get around God's people, you get locked into coming to church and growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord, and I'll tell you what, God will save your life. I was a dope addict and a drunk and a gang member. Amen. How much more could God do for you if you're not to that scale? And if he can save a wretch like me, and I'm not just talking about souls, that he can save my life, he can save yours. Yeah, that's God. That's my God. I don't know what they got up the street, but I know what my God did. That Bible says, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Do you love him? Amen. You ought to. You ought to. But I'll tell you something now. We're not just talking about heaven now. We're talking about, let's bring it home. Let's make it practical. Let me give you some things this morning about what the question, I guess, is what prepared for you? Christian, there's some things prepared for you in this life. Psalm 23. Psalm 23. Most famous psalm, I would say, gets a lot of review, a lot of reading at funerals. Yeah, probably the most famous, amen, between Psalm 33 in a funeral home and 1 Thessalonians 4 at the gravesite. And those verses are so powerful and so much more applicable than just then. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. That's how hard-headed we are. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Verse number 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. What a blessing. Verse number 5. Thou, look what it says, preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Verse number 5. David said this, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. There's some things prepared for you in this life, child of God. It says a table. Amen. Thou preparest a table. That speaks for God's provision. God's not only desire, but ability to take care of you and I. Matthew chapter 6. In verse 31, the Lord said this, thou therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But he says to the believer, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Isn't it good to know that you've got a God that's aware, not just of your spiritual needs, but of your physical needs. And he encourages us here in other places in the Bible. If we'll put our priorities where his priorities are, the spiritual, he'll take care of the physical. It says he prepared a table. Philippians chapter 4, 19 says this, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Our problem is, it doesn't, well, at least the King James doesn't say once. Amen. That's why some of us, amen, don't have the confidence in the Lord that we should, because we have once that he's not needing. Well, the problem, friend, is yours, not his, because he promised to meet all your need, to supply all your need. And it says there, and David said, thou preparest a table, and God is a God of provision. Amen. And I tell you what, it says in the presence of mine enemies. Yeah. You know what? Our son did 3 tours in Iraq with the 82nd Airborne. All right? He is a combat engineer. Amen. And well-trained and well-equipped and great unit. And every time he went over there and made it back, we rejoiced. We didn't rejoice in his training. We didn't rejoice in his equipment. We didn't rejoice in his ability. We got on our face, and not just when he came home, but on a regular basis, and we prayed for his safety, and we thank God for his safety, and we give God the credit for his safety. Now, Bible says the horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. And when I read that, that says, in the presence of mine enemies, I'm reminded, amen, that we, hey, listen, he's given us responsibility to use our brain. It says, be wise as a serpent. But boy, I'll tell you what, like Brother Brian said, there's some things God expects us to do. He expects us to do our part, and I'm going to tell you what, he'll do his part every time, hands down. God's a God of safety. I ride motorcycles. I lead a couple runs down in Florida. We gather together for a men's prayer breakfast at a couple of churches that would come together and get 15, 20 guys. And, you know, they all want to ride with the old outlaw biker. Man, I am so aware of my responsibility to set a good example to them guys with all the experience I've got. And I'll do a little lesson, and then we'll get outside and we'll gather around and we'll pray. And I'll praise the Lord. We're here today for the right reason, and we're asking you to open doors for us to witness and to give us an opportunity to hand out tracts, whether we stop at a bike shop or gas station or a barbecue joint. You know, when you're a safe biker and you don't go to bars, you just go to restaurants and bike shops and Starbucks and gas stations, and boy, you witness. And we pray and ask God that that everybody's bike works okay, and that nobody breaks down, and all that kind of thing. We pray for the weather, and we just. But I'll tell you what, the last thing and the most important thing we pray for is, God, we got the right gear, and we got the machine, and we got a nice day, and we got a good intention, and we got the proper gear. But Lord, what our confidence is and our faith is and what we're praying for today is that you would bless this thing with your safety. And I'll tell you what happens when we get home. And I do this when I ride my grandchildren. And I do this when I ride my wife. And I do this when I ride by myself most of the time. Yeah, I should all the time. I confess, I'm like you. I get up, get busy, and get about my business without getting God in on it. That just proves the exception proves the rule. God's merciful to me even then. I'll tell you what, with all our confidence and experience and abilities, safety is of the Lord. I'm going to tell you what, God's got some things prepared for us in this life. It said he prepares a table. He's a God of provision. It says in the presence of mine enemies. And now we're talking about the safety that, amen, that comes from the Lord. But here's what you might think. Well, I'm not going into combat. And I'm not getting on a motorcycle. You know, Ephesians chapter 6 verse 10 says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Then it says, put on the whole armor of God. Then it gives spiritual enemies. And we're in a spiritual battle. And there's empty pews all over little churches that claim to be Bible believers because some people don't have the relationship with their Bible to realize we are in a spiritual warfare. Yeah. Amen. But in that fight, in that good fight of faith, safety is of the Lord. What do? We got a spiritual, invisible enemy that we're no match for. We live in a world, Jesus warned us in John 15, hated him and would hate you. You've got a stinking flesh that does not want to set its affection on things above. Some of you like me, maybe everybody in here, your biggest enemy to living for Jesus Christ meets you in the bathroom mirror every morning. Oh, and I'll tell you what, the devil gets blamed for stuff I'm sure he don't even know about. Amen. The world, so most Christians are having so little impact, the world doesn't even take them seriously. But I'll tell you what, every one of us has got a flesh that did not get saved. And we're in a spiritual battle, and I just want to say to you, safety is of the Lord. It says, thou preparest a table before me, and then it says, in the presence of mine enemies, and then he says, what does he say? Let's go back to Psalm 23. And then it says something about oil. Help me out. Somebody help me out. King James, please, this time. Amen. Amen. Let's see what it says. Verse 5. Thou anointest my head with oil. With oil. That's good. Especially in Texas. Isn't that good? You like that, don't you? Amen. I thought you would. Listen, oil is a very important substance in the Bible. It was critical to sustain life. You have the account of in 1 Kings 17 about Elijah and the crew's oil, and she was just down enough. They're going to fix one more meal. Now they're just going to die. And Elijah blessed that thing, and they never did run out of oil. But I'm going to tell you something. There is more important application in the Word of God to oil than just something that you use to help prepare food. Go to 1 Samuel Chapter 16. Tell you what, oil is an important commodity. If you're a evangelist riding around in a motorhome, get 6 miles at a gallon too. Amen. I'm glad we're making it here. I'll tell you the truth. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 13, talking about oil. David said, "Thou anointest my head with oil," and it says this. At verse 13, 1 Samuel 16, then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. Look what it says. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. Oil is a type of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And it says in Romans 8 and 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. I'll tell you what, God has given us His Spirit, and I'm going to tell you what, and talk about, we've got some leadership prepared for us that'll take us in the right direction. If you're being led of the Spirit of God, you're always going to be headed in the right direction. Someday you'll make progress faster than others, but at least you're heading the right way. Let me say to you, Spirit of God that authored this book, somebody say amen,
amen,
will never lead you in any direction that's contrary to that book. I had somebody tell me one time, say, "Well, I woke up 3 o'clock in the morning and there was a 9-foot Jesus at the foot of my bed telling me to go do something that was directly contradictory to what the Bible says, whatever the..." And I looked at him and I said, "Pal, I got some advice for you." "Oh, yes? What? Oh, thou man of God." I suggest you quit eating pizza so stinking late at night, pal, because that is not how the Holy Spirit operates. Holy Spirit will never direct you contrary to the Bible. Amen. And then he says this in verse 5, "My cup runneth over." Now, perhaps the first thing that you think about when you see that word cup might have to do something with Matthew 16. The definition of cup in a spiritual sense, in a scriptural sense, is sufferings and afflictions. That which is to be received or endured. And that is certainly the context of Matthew 26, where the Lord asked if that cup that cup that was before him, Calvary, amen, could pass. And that's valid definition, but the definition doesn't stop there. It goes on and says, good received and blessing. That's Webster's 1828. And David said, my cup runneth over. And I'm reminded of Ephesians 3 and 20 that says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask, all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in thee. There's some things prepared for the child of God on the other side. For sure, all of eternity and that grand place that we can't even grasp with the Bible's attempts to give us just enough to pique our curiosity, and we're going to have an all of eternity to just marvel at what God's prepared. But I'm glad we don't have to just live a life of some kind of separation or isolation and just wait for that day. I'm glad that, first of all, that we can enjoy being a Christian. Jack Wood told me the day I met him, I hadn't even been saved 2 months. He said, don't endure Christianity. Learn to enjoy it. Amen. I threw him in there because he's a Texan like you. And he's a very wise man. Amen. And so you need to just make up your mind you're going to enjoy it. But I got news for you. It shouldn't be so hard considering the fact that God has prepared some things in this life. Amen. Let me tell you something, man. I got involved in that lifestyle. My goal in life was to be a cocaine head and a federal convicted felon. Nobody starts out that way. I just wanted to have a little fun. I just, like most people, I was a rebel. I didn't want to be told what to do. And I started dabbling with some things. And the next thing you know, and the truth is, sin will take you farther than you want to go. Amen. And so it ended up not being so much fun waking up in a jail cell every single day. That makes sense. That's what you reap what you sow. Amen. So, okay, then, by the grace of God, I found out, listen, it gets worse than this. You're going to go to hell too. Well, at least Jesus Christ did something about that. Amen. And I thank God that on November 30th, 1990, I called upon the name of the Lord and he saved me. Amen. And then I started, I didn't need a rocket science theologian to tell me you need to quit doing all this bad stuff. I didn't know what I was going to do, but I knew what not to do anymore. So that crowd that says, repentance doesn't have anything to do with it, that's hogwash. Amen. Because I repented of my sin, and that's how I came to the saving knowledge of Christ. Yeah, you can't have it both ways. This ain't Burger King. So then I got in church, and I got in the Bible, and this terrible, boring, no fun Christian life I'm going to endure, but at least I get to go to heaven. You know that's not true. I'm telling you what, I've been saved 24 years. I've never had so much fun in my life. I am having a ball trying to live for Jesus Christ. I've let him down. I've let others down. I've let myself down. But listen, man, those are common things that go on in the old life too. Amen. Listen, the flesh is deceitful. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Man, sometimes even as a Christian, you'll get thinking about the good old days. I tell you what, if you be honest with yourself, you'd remember that there were some times that weren't so good. And so sometimes the Christian life, there's some rough times. And the Bible says the rain falls on the just and the unjust alike. And we go through some rough stuff together. But I just got to tell you, the last 24 years of my life not only been the best, they've been the most fun. I'd come in here a week and a half ago, locked in with you guys. I don't know about you, but I'm having a ball. Amen. And if you think, well, yeah, you're the one preaching. No. You've been preaching to me, too, by example. And I've got a couple Sunday school lessons. And I've had some good time to fellowship and rejoice in what God's done in individual lives. And if you think that doesn't minister to me and my wife, if you think that doesn't give us the spiritual strength to keep going, then you think more highly of us than you should. Because we're just like you, just submitted, trying to do something for God. Amen. And if anything gets done and anything looks good, and we that's why God lets us sing, to remind us who we are. And I am totally good with that. Amen. Let me say this to you. If you're not enjoying your Christian life, and I'm not saying, you know, some stupid grin on your face, phony, fake, pretend, everything. Man, sometimes, man, it's not like that. You know, I've seen brothers and sisters suffer through some things and ills and break my heart. The Bible says, weep with them that weep and rejoice with them that rejoice. But I'm telling you what, as a whole, especially in light of the knowledge that, man, you're going to spend eternity in heaven. Amen. As a whole, if you're not enjoying your Christianity, you're not doing something right. Because the problem isn't with the Christianity. The problem isn't with the Lord. Amen. The problem isn't with your salvation. Somewhere along the way, your affections are on the wrong thing. That's the only thing that'll grieve living a fruitful Christian life. Conflict of interest. We're talking about what's prepared for you. I just want to say, you got something going here that's very precious. You should rejoice in it. You should be glad in it. There's iron sharpening iron around here all the time. And I'm glad I got to get in on it. That's a good thing. That's a Bible thing. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something. God is the original equal opportunity employer. Yeah. Well, the Bible phrase is, no respecter of persons. In this day and age where we have to be so careful that no one be left out, we live in the most fragile age I've ever seen. So we have, and I've been saying, what God, it says walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So if you're walking in the Spirit today, God's got some things prepared for you down here that you can't mess. Well, no, He's got some prepared for you up there that you can't mess up. And if you're walking in the Spirit down here, He's got some things prepared for you, like provision and safety and the Holy Spirit to guide you, that you can quench, that you can grieve. That seems like it'd be kind of foolish, doesn't it? Well, it does. It happens all the time. And the blessings. And so those are the things God's got prepared for them that love Him down here. But, you know, to be fair, we've got to admit that God's got some things prepared for Christians that aren't walking in the Spirit. He's got things for prepared for Christians that aren't doing what they ought to do. And, I think we're on a roll there, kind of an encouraging message, but I got to be fair. So I want to make sure I include everybody. So if you're not walking in the Spirit, can I just say God's got you in mind, too? Take your Bible, go to Jonah. Jonah chapter 1. Now, look what it says. Verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. Could I say, what a blessing? Jonah's a preacher. Jonah's a son of a preacher. What a blessing it is that the Lord spoke to him. That's what we long for. People get saved and then spend a lot of time looking for the will of God. Find out, God, what would you have me to do? Well, Jonah doesn't have that problem. The Lord has spoken to him and the Lord has told him exactly what he wants to do. So, verse 3 says, but, that means Jonah's like us sometimes. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I want to serve you, Lord. And then we give him a list. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish. Notice the wording. From the presence of the Lord. And went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going down to Tarshish. And so he paid the fare thereof. And went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish. Notice again. From the presence of the Lord. You know, if they'd let me out on bond, I was going to try to become a television star on America's Most Wanted. Some guys get to run from the presence of the law. He's running from the presence of the Lord. Could I say, duh? Yeah. Amen. And listen, Jonah knew what to do. He knew what to do. The Lord told him what to do. It's right there. But he chose not to. He chose not to do what the Lord told him to do. He chose to run from God. You know, if we took the time and went around the room, probably there's more than a few people in here that will give testimony how at some point in their life, God dealt with them about something and they chose to run too. You know, listen, truth be known, there might be somebody like that in here this morning. We've been meeting here for 10 days. Amen. Listen, there may be somebody in here today that you know God's dealing with your heart about something, but you've already made up your mind you're not going to do it. But you're making your little guest appearance. Can I remind you this morning, millions and millions of Americans go to church faithfully every week, some several times a week. They're not even saved. You hear me? They're religious. They're doing their duty. So I'm just saying that to say this. I appreciate you being here, but don't think your presence in the church service is any kind of guarantee to me that where you're supposed to be with the Lord. That's between you and you and him both know. So I'm going to say, you know, in the old days, we used to do some money collecting, and the saying was this, you can run, but you can't hide. And that sounds real intimidating, but truth of the matter is, some did. Some ran. Some hid. Some got away. Not so with the Lord. You can run, but you can't hide. You can't. Jonah tried it. Amen. Got on this boat. Got out there. And look at verse 4. But. Yeah. Jonah said but to the Lord. Guess what? Lord said but back. Amen. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Amen. Lord had some prepared for Jonah. I hope you know the story. Read it yourself. Look at verse 17. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Amen. Jonah chose to run, and God wanted to use him. And, well, the Lord knew what to do to get his attention. And he got it. Because chapter 2 and verse 1, it says, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord out of the fish's belly. It's like the rich man. He knew what to do. He called on Abraham, amen, and asked for mercy. He waited a little too late. And that's what Jonah did. He knew what to do. He knew what God wanted him to do. And then from the fish's belly, then he prayed. Boy, I bet right about then he's thinking, boy, I wish I'd have done this a little earlier. Said in verse 17, chapter 2, verse 7, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. You know, it doesn't have to be that way. Some of you could testify here right now that it took a similar situation for you. You came to the end of yourself, your soul fainted within you. Well, God was there. He was waiting. But man, when it happens like that, it's because we make it happen like that. That's not God's desire. Before I was in evangelism full time, I was in the penitentiaries and juvenile facilities and county jails all the time. And boy, I'd be preaching. I was kind of a younger Christian, first 5 or 6 years. And I knew a couple verses, and I'd be preaching along, and it almost never failed. I'd have some men. And several times in women's prisons, there'd be some girls, and I'd be starting to quote a verse, and they're quoting it right. Some of them had the verse better than I did. On more than a few occasions, I went up to different prisoners after a church service behind bars, and I said, well, obviously, this isn't your first church service. For many, it is. Amen. There's great need there. I'm for that. I'm a product of that ministry. But I've said on more occasions than I like to think possible. Obviously, this isn't your first church service. And here's what I hear over and over again. Yep, I'm saved. I've heard I went to an independent Bible-believing church. I've heard my dad was a preacher. I've heard these words. I don't even interrupt. I let them talk because they always say the same thing. You know what they say? God, I'm here because God wanted to get my attention. You know what I say every time? Does he have it? I mean, for real? Does he have it yet? Because a lot of people, boy, especially ones that know what to do, when they're getting that kind of trouble, boy, they're on their knees then. They're in their Bible then. They're going to church then. Problem is, once they get out, they don't keep it up. Somebody tried to define jailhouse religion. I says, I'm going to tell you what jailhouse religion is. That's when the person gets out and Jesus doesn't. You follow me? So they get out and go back doing what they used to do, and the Lord, he doesn't go out with them. So I tell these folks, I said, listen, I hope he has your attention, because if he doesn't, you will be back. You know, and I got sick and tired of my sinful life, and I got saved. I haven't been back. Amen. I got in church. I got in the book. It works. Yeah, I'm not reading this out of some church manual. Amen. I've lived it. And I'm telling you that you might be going through something, and it may be because the Lord wants to get your attention. Now, I'm not saying every time a storm, okay, you know what I mean when I say that? A valley, a storm, a situation comes into your life, it's because of sinfulness. It's not true. Sometimes storms come to prove you. Sometimes storms come to improve you. But truth of the matter is, some come to reprove you. And, you know, truth be known, in the honesty of your own spirit, if you're in a situation going on and you think it might be, or you know for sure that God dealing with you, if there's some things that aren't going the way, you know, that you'd like them to, or that God would like them to, and whatever the reason. Listen, if God's trying to get your attention, could I suggest giving it to him? Because if you don't, and the storm passes, if he didn't really get your attention, if you didn't make any spiritual progress, if you didn't gain any spiritual ground, you'll be back. Listen, there are plenty of mistakes to be made. We're flesh, we're human. Amen. We don't have to keep making the same ones over and over. Be creative, make some new mistakes. Learn the lessons. Here's why. Because God knows. Now, for Jonah, it was a fish. Might not be anything like that for you. But God knows what it is that'll get your attention, that'll cause you to, then I prayed, from the fish's belly, my soul fainted within me. Wouldn't it be better just to get right with God at church and be surrounded with people that'll rejoice with you and encourage you and help you, rather than to get down to that horrible pit in that miry clay. Amen. So let me say, we're talking about what prepared for you. And Christian, I'll tell you something else prepared for you. Two appointments. Two appointments are prepared for you. It says in Hebrews 9 and verse 27, as it is written. That's not what it says. I got to find it. Help me out. Somebody know the verse? As it is, thank you, brother. And as it is appointed unto man once to die, appointment number one. And after this, the judgment, appointment number two. Amen. You got an appointment. You got an appointment with death. And the only thing that's going to interrupt that, it isn't modern medicine. It isn't one of them pills you're hearing about on the radio. Save your money. Send it to missions. The only thing that's going to preclude your death is a trumpet. And it may very well do it. Today. But if it doesn't, everybody, every human, saved or lost, good or bad, has an appointment with death. And the same is said for the judgment, and after this, the judgment. Now, Christian, if you're saved, you've got an appointment with judgment at the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. Thank God you're not going to be dealt with your sin there. If you're saved, that's under the blood, but you will be dealt with. It says in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10, for we must all appear, doesn't mean all as in everybody, all inclusive. He's talking to Christians at a church, just like I'm talking to Christians in a church. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Let me ask you something. Are you prepared for that? Are you prepared to give an account face to face with Jesus Christ for your Christian life, for all your conduct between the day you got saved and this day? Amen. Every idle word, every motive of your heart, every selfish, rebellious, stubborn, prideful, dishonest act. Are you willing to do that? It says in Amos chapter, well, it doesn't matter if you're willing or not. Let me say, are you ready? It says in Amos chapter 4 and verse 12, prepare to meet thy God. So if you've been running like Jonah, put an end to it today. Surrender. This is the only fight where running up the white flag puts you on the winning side. He's giving you another chance. Don't make it take a great fish or storm or whatever it might take. And listen, prepare to meet your God. Maybe it'd be a good thing today as we purpose in, as we head into 2015, longing for the Lord to come back, but preparing to stay busy in case he continues to tarry. Might be a good thing to rededicate your affections in this day and age of major distractions, and the need for committed Christians is greater than ever. And that's the very purpose for meetings like this, to give you a chance to take inventory. Clean house. Start fresh. Amen. Now you got to give everything. You got to give account for everything at the judgment seat of Christ that you didn't get under the blood down here. And so if there's things right now that you're thinking, oh man, I don't want to. Why don't you get the thing right? Why don't you go to that brother and sister? Why don't you right that wrong? Why don't you get on your face before God and say, God, I'm sorry and I need your help not to keep doing the same old stupid thing. And he'll help you. You know, there's an old-fashioned altar. Why do you say old-fashioned? Because it doesn't matter if it's a padded kneeling bench it doesn't matter. You can come boldly before the throne of grace, obtain mercy, and find grace to help in time of need. That is that option, that opportunity is prepared for you. Man, don't pass it by. Don't just come in and out and just business as usual. What's prepared for you this morning? If you're saved, well, there's an opportunity for you to do whatever you have to do to be more prepared to meet your God. And I hope you take what you've heard this week and take it to heart and make whatever adjustments necessary. And if you're doing okay, praise the Lord. Keep doing okay, because you got a big responsibility to be a good example to the rest of us. Now, let me just say this and I'll close. What's prepared for you if you're not saved? All that stuff about heaven, forget it. All that stuff about God's care in this life, forget it. Forget it. Matthew 25, verse 41 says this. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, the Lord Jesus Christ speaking, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. In all fairness, hell, lake of fire, all that, in all fairness, that was not prepared for the souls of people. The problem is, God has a zero tolerance law going on in heaven. So we have our ideas about big ones and little ones and venial and mortal, and God doesn't operate that way at all. And there'll be none there. None. Even those little white lies and those little insignificant things and that, sorry. And God made a way
for that stuff to get cleaned up. He said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Well, that's what the devil's going to do, and his angels are going to do, and that's where they're going to do it. But he made a way for a sinful man, big sin, little sin, he made a way for us not to go there. It prepared. But listen, beloved, there's an escape. How shall you escape if you neglect so great salvation? You won't. Don't neglect it. The Bible says, whosoever the name was not found written in the book of life was cast in a lake of fire. I'm glad. I'm glad my sins are forgiven. I'm glad my sins aren't going to keep me out of heaven. Don't you let your sin keep you out either. And especially in light of what the Lord Jesus Christ did. And not only that, and especially in light of the freedom that's been described already this morning in this country, where the gospel of Jesus Christ can still be freely proclaimed. Please don't die and go to hell in spite of the fact that we're meeting in a church that does give the gospel plainly. Because everyone doesn't. So churches around America are full of wonderful people. But if they're not saved, they're not going to heaven. And I want to go to heaven, and I want you to go to heaven. And this church exists to tell you that you can go to heaven. It's not, well, I don't know if I want to go. Well, the alternative is not good. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Amen. Well, I'll tell you what, like it's already been said, we'd love to take a Bible and show you how you would have no fear. You could, from this day forward, never have a fear again of falling into the hands of the living God as your judge. But like most of us, many of us, you'll step into the loving arms of your Savior. And those are the choices, and it shouldn't be that hard. And I hope you make the right choice. Let's all stand. What's prepared for you? There's something prepared. Are you saved? All right. If you're not, you're not prepared to meet God.